Please stand as you are able for the reading of God's Word. Our Holy Scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 24 through 41. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
We're glad to have Brett Smith with us helping lead in worship today. Many of you know him. He's a part of our congregation, but he serves as a local pastor in the North Texas Conference, and it's good to have you back with us today. Well, love wins, and love wins through healing. You can see at children's time, I love the kids. They just make me happy. They make me laugh, and they make me smile. And I love that they're so comfortable at church and comfortable with me. Last week, a youth group went to see a movie. Anybody here see the movie Jesus Revolution yet? It is an awesome movie. I recommend that. And it's a true story of Chuck Smith's church in the late 60s into the 70s, reaching the hippies out in California. And it's a great story. And there were several of us that were giving rides to kids to go to the Cinemark down here at Bethany. And I had a couple of kids in my truck, and we're driving along. And one of them, we'll call him Nick because that's his name. I told him I was talking about him today, so that's okay. Nick says, "Pastor Barry, Pastor Barry." I said, "What?" He says, "How old are you?" And I said, "Why? What's happening? How old are you?" And I told him how old I was. And he says, "Well, that's great. You can get a discount on your on your ticket." And I thought, well, that's kind of sweet. He's looking out after me and everything. And then he says, "And you qualify to park in one of those parking places up close to the thing." And I said, "What? Wait, no. I'm not qualified to do..." But I have to tell you, ever since then, I have felt all kinds of aches and pains, and I think I need some healing out of this thing. It was great. A couple of weeks ago, you might have read about an interesting happening in Wilmore, Kentucky, and at the Little Asbury University. Revival happened on campus there. It's a little university of just a few thousand students. And where they have chapel is called Hughes Auditorium, no relation to me, but Hughes Auditorium. And they had a chapel service one day, and some of the young people decided to stay behind to pray together and sing, keep singing. And they just stayed. They kept feeling God. And so the president, Kevin Brown, I believe is his name, sent out an email to all the students and said, worship is happening in Hughes Auditorium. Everyone's welcome. And over the next 2 weeks, 50 to 75,000 college students went to that auditorium and sang and prayed for hours on end. It was unplanned, was unorganized. There was no preacher involved, which probably is the explanation for its success, right? It just happened. You know what amazed me most about that? Was when I would read the post on social media from people like me, clergy people, giving their opinion of why that wasn't that good a thing. Now, that might not be my thing or your thing, but how could you not say that wasn't a real thing for the young adults who had a life-changing experience with God? I was just amazed that so many people who did not experience that, who didn't go there, had strong opinions they felt the need to share. And it made me ask the question, what is it that keeps us from being able to celebrate with people? What is it that gets in the way of us feeling joy when God does something great for someone else? In our family or in our church or in our community or in our world, what is it that keeps that from happening in our life? Well, I really believe that is what this story from the Gospel of John is about. It's about how God's love wins through healing. And in the Gospel of John, it's very clear. Jesus comes to heal us of our sin. And John is a little different than the other Gospel writers. When John talks about sin, it's in the singular, S-I-N. It's not sins, which makes sin a conversation about moral behaviors, what's right or what's wrong. John talks about sin, that which keeps us from God. And for John, sin is not having faith in Jesus, not being able to look at Jesus' life and teachings and actions and see God at work. That's what John is talking about. And he's talking about that because that's the kind of healing each and every one of us need in our life. It's the kind of healing every person needs across the ages, no matter who we are or where we're from. We need that healing so that we can see God's love and grace for us and for others in Jesus. The story in chapter 9 is a very interesting one. Jesus and the disciples are just walking along. They come to a village. They meet this man that everyone knows has never been able to see. And the disciples, who only know how to think religiously or theologically or culturally the way they were taught, immediately begin to ask Jesus questions. There has to be a reason this man can't see. So Jesus, did he sin or did his parents sin? Somebody had to do something wrong because something bad happened. Jesus knew that's not who God is. Though sometimes we can feel that way, can't we? We can feel that God singles out someone, and sometimes it might even be us, or someone we love, and something bad happens to them. Jesus knew that's not the God that we worship. What Jesus knew was that life happens, and even when life happens and bad things come with it, God is with us, and God is at work, and even in the hardest of circumstances in our life, God's work can be revealed if we have eyes to see. So Jesus does a strange thing. He spits in the dust, and he makes some mud, and he smears it on the guy's eyes and says, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." One reason I've always loved this story is I grew up a Baptist kid in Arkansas. Our Baptist camp was Siloam Springs, and is based on this story. It means sent. So Jesus sends him to wash. And the man goes and washes his eyes, and he comes back and he can see. And this throws everybody off. The people who know him are so caught up, they don't even show any excitement or any joy for him. They just start saying, "Is this the guy? Are you sure this is the guy?" Some people said, "No, it's the guy." And other people said, "No, it's not the guy. Can't you just see this man just giving his sight back, frustrated, going, 'Hello, it is the guy. It's me. I'm right here. Listen to me.'" But they're caught up in, "How can this be? Who can this be? How could this have happened?" He says, "I don't know. This man that they were calling Jesus rubbed some mud on my eyes, and I went and washed, and now I can see." Well, where is he? How would I know? I hadn't seen him yet. When he went away, he couldn't see. How can I know? Nobody is celebrating with this guy. It's the strangest thing. Then the Pharisees get involved. The Pharisees don't celebrate. They just investigate, right? They want to get to the bottom of this. It's the Sabbath. So all they can think about, they're obsessed. They can't think of anything else except that Jesus broke a rule by healing this man on the Sabbath. Couldn't work on the Sabbath. And apparently mud making is on the list of prohibited work. So that's all they can think of. They question the man. They bring him in. "Tell us what happened." And the man gives the only answer he has through this whole story. "A man they were calling Jesus put mud on my eyes. I washed, and now I can see." Then the Pharisees are all divided up. Some saying, "Well, this man's a sinner. He broke a rule on the Sabbath." And other Pharisees said, "No, he's not a sinner. A sinner couldn't do a miracle like this." And so they get locked in that circular, fruitless arguments we get locked into when we try to explain away something rather than embrace something and celebrate something. Try to control what God is up to. Then some say, "Well, I can settle this. He just never was blind." If you can't explain it, just deny it, right? So they bring his parents in. "Is this your son? Was he born blind? What happened to him?" And they say, "Yes, yes, and he's a big boy. Ask him." Even the parents in this story aren't celebrating with this person. Why? Because John tells us they're afraid. They're afraid that they'll be kicked out of the synagogue. And that's where our reading picks up. At this point in the story, the Pharisees have quit pretending to even try to understand. They just want this man to agree with them, sign something, and they can go home. "We know this man is a sinner, right?" And the man says, "I don't know if he's a sinner or not. All I know is, once I was blind, and now I can see." Do you think he really cared whether the man was a sinner or not? "Once I was blind, and now I can see." And they keep asking him the same questions over and over again, and he has had it. This man's had the best day of his life and nobody cares. He finally says, really? You keep asking me, do you want to be his disciple too? How do you think that went over with the Pharisees? Yeah, exactly like that. You are this man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. And now the man's just having fun with the Pharisees. Well, that's amazing. You guys whose job is to tell God what God can do doesn't know this man who's doing God's work. I find that kind of funny. And they took that so well, they threw him out the door. Drove him out, John says. You were born in sin. You would teach us? You would tell us something? Get out of here. And it takes all this time before the man finally gets to see Jesus. And when he does, he bows down and worships him. And Jesus says to the man, this is why I've come into the world, so that those who can't see will be able to see, and those who see will be blind. And so Pharisees were eavesdropping. And they said, surely we aren't blind, are we? Jesus said, because you think you aren't, you are. Isn't that a powerful story? It doesn't go where you think it's going to go. And I think it does that because this story is trying to get each one of us to ask a question. We're looking at a story of a situation that should have caused celebration by everybody in it, and no one can find any joy for this man. And in this story, we see because of that some of the things that we might need to be healed of in our own life. The parents, they're afraid. Afraid they'd get kicked out of the synagogue, and yet they knew this man named Jesus had healed their son. They couldn't find that faith in the one that opened his eyes. The Pharisees, they didn't like what God was doing, so they just denied the truth. Well, he never was really blind. Then they demanded he agree with them. He's a sinner. Then when they could find no explanation for this miracle, they play the pedigree card. We're disciples of Moses. We know it all. And as the story goes on, they get more desperate and they end up demeaning themselves with anger-fueled self-righteousness. Who are you to teach us? Who are you to tell us anything about God? And then to Jesus, to show that they knew a whole lot about everybody's sin but their own, ask the question Jesus hoped they'd ask. We're not blind, are we? You see, the good news is that Jesus did come into the world to heal all of us from whatever it is we need to be healed from. Whatever it is. So if this story invites us to ask the question, what is it that I need to be healed from? Not the person next door, not a person who I don't like, not a person that doesn't look like me. What do I need to be healed of? The good news is God wants to heal us. God has sent Jesus to heal us. And God already knows what it is that keeps us from faith, that keeps us from being able to celebrate what God is doing in lives and in the world, whatever it is that separates us from the joy of celebration. God wants to heal us of that. There's a lot of good news in this strange story. Love wins through healing. So as we continue on this Lenten journey, let us take the invitation offered to us in this story and offer to God those things that get in the way of our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, so that we might be healed, that we might be able to live a life of joy and gratitude and celebration. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.